If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 26, 36 to 45. I want to talk about maybe a little bit different subject this morning. I want to talk about the cup of suffering. That's not something that we like to talk about. It's not something that we want to experience in our lives. But it is something that happens to everyone at some point in all of our lives, that we go through a time where there's a cup of suffering that we have to bear. And so Matthew 26, 36 to 45. You'll see it on the screen. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray, so you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. And then he came to his disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you for the power of prayer. And so, Lord, as we look at this subject of suffering today, I pray that, Lord, you would just reveal some truths to us. And that, Lord, you'll also bring an expectation of answered prayer. So, God, just bless this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the cup of suffering that Jesus bore for us that we might have salvation. And a little bit later on in our service, we're going to have a communion time. We're going to be lifting up that cup of suffering that Jesus bore for us that we might have life, everlasting life. Suffering is something that happens really to all of us. It's not something we like to talk about, and even as Christians, sometimes we like to avoid this subject to even think that as Christians, we can have times of suffering. But we do suffer. We can suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And as Christians, we're also told to expect that there'll be suffering without persecution because of our faith and Jesus Christ. So the Bible is really quite clear that all of us will experience some type of suffering in life. For some of us, it'll be worse than others. Now, suffering is not an easy thing to deal with. It's not an easy thing to understand. Sometimes as we go through those times of suffering, we have more questions than answers, especially when bad things happen to good people. And sometimes that cup can be very difficult and can lead to us to asking a lot of questions of why, God? Why am I going through this? Why is that person going through this? Sometimes our suffering is caused by evil people. Sometimes our suffering is caused by attacks of the enemy, the devil. Sometimes suffering is caused by wrong choices. Sometimes suffering is caused by medical problems. Sometimes by accidents. Or sometimes just the result of living in a fallen world. Now, I'm not going to get into all the facts of why there is suffering in our world, except to say that suffering came with the fall of man and the Garden of Eden. And if we want to blame someone, really, you got to go right back to the garden. You blame the devil and Adam and Eve. That's when suffering started happening. But without getting into all those whys, I think we're all mature enough and understand enough that suffering is a normal part of life that we will all bear at times. We will all have cups of suffering that we'll have to deal with. And this morning, I want to talk about this story of Jesus in Gethsemane, because in this story, he actually refers to suffering as a cup. It was something that was given to him, not that he wanted it, but it was given to him, and he had to experience it, and he had to work through it. And as you read this story, it really helps us to how we can deal with the cups of suffering that are sent our way. Now, as we look at the suffering of Christ, we realize that his suffering reached a much higher level than most of us. There are a few people in our world that have suffered just like Jesus has suffered. A very cruel torture and very cruel things that have happened to some people. And yet, we can all relate to what Jesus was experiencing right here in Gethsemane. Jesus was about to be betrayed by one of his inner circle of 12 disciples, a special group of people that was handpicked, and yet one of them was about to betray him. Then we see another disciple, the spokesman, Peter, that Peter would soon deny him after pledging allegiance that, Lord, I would never, ever deny you. Then we look at the rest of the disciples that were soon to abandon Jesus. They would run. They would take off, leaving Jesus to be all alone with the soldiers and the religious hierarchy, free for them to torture him and crucify him. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus knew that his time had come. He knew that the reason that he came into this world was that we might have life, everlasting life. He came to be the Savior, the sacrifice for our sins, to save us from sin. And Jesus knew that now was the time. Now was the time that even as a God who knew no sin, that soon he would be bearing the sin of the world. Something that would be totally foreign to him. That we might be restored into our Father in heaven. So that was something that was about to happen. And Jesus was struggling with all these thoughts. All these things were kind of coming to a climax now, and Jesus was struggling with suffering. The Bible says Jesus was in anguish. He was distressed. His soul was crushed with grief to the point of death. He was so stressed that he literally sweated drops of blood as he knew the worst was yet to come. The suffering had become too much for him to bear. And yet he was able to get through it. And he was able to get through it through some very practical practices that we can apply as well. See, that's what Jesus taught us as he was here on earth. He taught us that, how do we deal with these things in the natural? He didn't show, well, because I'm God, I can do this. No, he showed us as a human being what we could do to handle those times when a cup of suffering is sent our way. So the very first thing we need to do when a cup of suffering comes our way is pray. And that might seem to us, oh, that's just something we throw out there so easily and so quickly. And, you know, it's just such a simple thing. Well, let me tell you something. Prayer works. It works. Just look how often Jesus would pray when faced with a difficulty. He would go away and spend some time with his Father and cry out to him. And yet we look at ourselves that it's something so simple, and yet so often we don't bother doing it. We don't bother to pray. We don't bother to seek the Lord. We rather complain and do everything else that we can instead of this very simple practice just to come and pray. When Jesus was faced with this cup of suffering or any difficulty that came his way, he always went to a private place and prayed. And he did exactly that here in this Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26:36, it says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. And again, that was a normal practice for Jesus. Jesus often prayed, and when there was a difficulty or an emotional discouragement that he was going through, he would always go off to a place where he could pray in private. Gethsemane was one of those favorite places for Jesus to pray. It was very secluded and offered privacy. Jesus probably even knew the owner because he was there so often, and even his disciples were there. A lot of times Jesus even slept there. But in times of suffering, we need to get alone with God and pray. If you're going through something that is very difficult and you're going through some suffering in your life right now, then you need to get down to prayer, some serious prayer. We just finished 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm trusting that you did that, or at least did most of those days. And I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies of answers to prayer that have happened because of that. But friends, it's things like that that we really need to do if we're going through times of suffering in our lives. If you're going through a time of suffering, then we need to make time, sacrifice time, sacrifice meals that we have to, sacrifice events that we, if we have to, that we might seek the Lord for an answer. You need to take charge and get serious about prayer if you're going through a situation that is indeed serious. The Bible tells us that only some things can only be broken by prayer and by fasting. We got to acknowledge that. We got to remember that sometimes that's exactly what we need to do when we go through these times of suffering. And as we pray, bring it to the attention of our Father. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights about the Father's love. And such a powerful, powerful series that really speaks to our hearts. But the Lord himself told us in the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray like this, Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Most of us remember it more, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is telling us, Jesus tells us, go to the Father. Go to the Father. Pray to the Father. When you're in a situation where a cup of suffering has been dealt you, go to your Father and begin to pray. Begin to cry out to him. It's a practice that is really encouraged throughout Scripture. A very simple advice. It's interesting that James is here telling us in James 5:13. He learned a lesson. And he says, are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Plain and simple. You should pray. If you are going through a significant time of suffering right now, then the answer to that is that you need to pray. You need to seek the Lord. Simple advice, but practical advice, and advice that actually works. Then secondly, as we deal with our cup of suffering, we need others to join us in prayer. And I stress that part, that we need others to join us in prayer. So often, you know, we come around, we say, hey, can you pray for me? Could you pray for me? Could you pray for me? And we go to all these services and, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? And we're not even praying ourselves. Let me tell you something. That's probably, it could work, but probably not. You need to be praying and then invite others to join with you and pray. It tells us in Matthew 26:37, Jesus took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. Now, Jesus had all of his disciples with them, but he only took three of them kind of into the inner circle. They were kind of his inner circle of the 12 to be with him and be close to him as he prayed. So he went a little bit further to pray, but they were just a little distance off. And sometimes that's what we need. We need others to pray for us. I encourage you to surround yourself with people who know how to pray. Surround yourself with people that are closest to you. And that as you pray, maybe even ask them, could you join with me and pray? Don't just say, pray for me, but maybe get them to come around you and say, listen, could you just come and pray for me? Often on a Sunday after a service, very appropriate time just to call out to somebody. Say, hey, you know, you don't always have to come to the front. Just have someone beside you. Say, could you pray for me? Or if you're out somewhere having a function, it doesn't take long just to say, hey, could you pray for me? And just pray for that person right on the spot. James also recognized this importance of sharing with others and praying for one another. When he wrote in James 5:16, he said, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Find some people that know how to pray. There's numbers of those right here in this congregation. There are some powerful prayer warriors in this church. There really are. Ask them to join you in prayer. Ask some of your closest friends to join with you and open up your heart to them and tell them the difficulty that you're going through and saying, could you pray with me? I need someone else to join with me in prayer. Then thirdly, in times when a cup of suffering comes our way, we need to be watchful. Need to be alert to our surroundings, the possible dangers that may be there. We need to be alert and conscious of physical, spiritual surroundings, and to see where that cup of suffering may be coming from. Sometimes it might be just the normal things of life where that's coming from, but sometimes it can be a very spiritual attack that we need to stand up against. Jesus told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here. Keep watch with me." Again, we just need others to join with us in prayer, watching, praying. You know, sometimes when we get sick or we go through a time of terrible suffering, we sometimes reach that place where we just can't seem to pray. That's where you have your brothers and sisters in Christ that you say, come alongside me. I need you to pray for me today. And I just felt that's what I needed today. But we as the brothers and sisters of Christ would come alongside and say, we're going to pray for you today. Maybe you're feeling down from those treatments today, but we're doing good and we're going to pray for you today. Now, suffering sometimes, as you said, it can be our own doing. Sometimes bad choices. Sometimes it can be the enemy of our souls. And we need to get in that place where we can watch and pray that we can be aware to tell the difference. Because sometimes we can get upset at the wrong thing. Sometimes we'll even get upset with people when it's not really people. It's the enemy behind it that we need to be watching for. So we need to watch. We need to have others watch with us. We need to get that place where we can have a proper perspective and an approach to battle those times of suffering. Apostle Paul wrote some good advice. Peter voted some good advice here about experiences with suffering. He said in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, he said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Don't think it's strange that the enemy would attack you. Because he does that to all of God's people all over the world. There is a devil. There are spiritual forces working against us, against all believers. And when we go through those times of suffering, we need to be aware, where is this attack coming from? Is this just because, you know, I'm sick today or an accident happened? Or is there something else at work? And it really helps us in our understanding and how we can battle against those areas more effectively. Then fourthly, when faced with a cup of suffering, you need to focus on the will of God. What is God trying to say to us in this time? I can guarantee you that any time of suffering, that there's a message that God is trying to get through to you, even in the midst of that suffering. What's God trying to say? Is there something we're supposed to bear? Sometimes God allows us to go through things that we might learn, that we might grow. Sometimes God disciplines us and allows things to happen that we might come closer to Him. Jesus was very concerned about doing the will of His Father in heaven. That was something that was very important to Him throughout His entire life. Matthew 26, 39, it says, He went a little bit further and He bowed with His face to the ground praying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He goes on to say that he prayed this three times, but declared as well, not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. His whole life, he committed himself to do that. That he would pray that and believe that. To take time to focus on the will of God. So when you go through those times of suffering, focus on the will of God. What's God wanting here? Now, it's interesting that he prayed that this cup of suffering to be removed. If it was possible, Lord, would you remove this cup of suffering? I'm glad that Jesus asked that question because that gives us permission as well to ask the same question. Jesus, would you please take this cup of suffering from me? It's okay to pray that. To pray that. Yes, pray that. God, that this suffering is getting too much. I ask that you would take it away. And obviously God is able to take it away. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have asked. So he is able to remove those things. He's able to remove those things that are causing suffering in our lives. However, in this case, we see that God didn't remove this cup of suffering from Jesus. But I want you to know something as you read this passage of Scripture. God still answered. He still answered. He still responded. And we see as we read Luke's account of just how the Father responded to that request of to remove this cup of suffering. And it says in Luke 22:43, it says, then the angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Kind of tells us there's either going to be two answers when we pray for a cup of suffering to be removed. God will either come and remove that cup of suffering, or he will strengthen you that you might be able to bear that cup of suffering. Even sending his angels to be with you and to surround you and to help you through that time. So when we pray for that cup of suffering to be removed, God's going to answer. He will either remove it or he's going to send you strength to endure it. Kind of goes back again to the will of God and how God may be using this time to teach us, to test us, to make us stronger. Bible tells us that sometimes we go through suffering that we might be stronger in him or that we might learn a lesson that's going to help us in our future. Either way, God will respond and help us, strengthening us or delivering us as we pray. So when you go through times of suffering, pray God's will. Pray God's will. And if you're at that point where you're kind of like, oh, I can't handle it no more, then say, okay, God, if you're not going to deliver me, then you need to give me strength because I can't go any further. This is a teaching that Jesus tells us to be constantly praying about the will of God. Matthew 6:10, again, part of the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kind of keep the focus of the will of God. God may be working through this time. Then number 5 in facing this cup of suffering, we need to be on guard against temptation. Temptation always seems to come when we're the weakest. Guaranteed, you need to be prepared for that. Temptation will come when you're the weakest. Matthew 26:41, keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Man, that is so true. And when sickness comes or discouragement comes, depression comes, suffering comes, always a temptation. Always a temptation to do something that will be even more harmful to ourselves or that will bring embarrassment to ourselves. Bad choices are common things during times of suffering. And Jesus warned the disciples that this could be something that would happen. And they didn't realize when Jesus was telling them that this was going to happen within the hour. They totally missed it. After all of his teachings, all that he went through, he just had communion with them, established communion with them. They didn't get it till afterwards. Soon the disciples fell asleep. And then all of a sudden they're awakened to a mob. And they all ran. Even Peter, the great one, powerful man of God, even he ran as well and denied his Lord. So during times of suffering, you need to be aware of what's happening around you. You need to be aware of what's happening spiritually. And also be aware that this is the best time for the enemy of your soul to show up and tempt you. That's what he likes to do. He wants to bring further harm to you, or he wants to bring you to a place that you'll be ashamed of what you've done. So you need to be watchful. You need to be alert. Something that we have to work at. Doesn't just happen automatically. You need to be awake physically, spiritually. We need to take that responsibility of watching, praying seriously, even when we don't feel like it, because a lot of people today are saying, I'm weary, I'm tired. To be honest with you, as I talk with pastors from across the nation and churches from across our nation, I'm hearing the same thing. People are weary. They're just weary. They're tired. We need to press through those times of fatigue and weariness. We need to come against those temptations that the enemy is bringing our way. The spirit may indeed be willing, but the body is weak. Just like many people today didn't come to church. Too cold. But you made a choice that, I know it's cold, but I'm going to go anyway. There's always a temptation out there. We must press through those times of fatigue, weariness. Stand guard against the temptations that will surely come. The disciples fell asleep, and Jesus was all alone. You know, that also kind of tells us about another problem where temptations come. Sometimes people drop off because of the weariness. We get busy with our own lives. We get busy with what's happening around us. And we need to take times where we consciously think of others and say, no, I am not going to go to sleep in this area. I'm going to keep on praying for this individual. Matthew 6:13, part of the Lord's Prayer again. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you're going to come through times of temptation, you need to be on guard against the temptations that are going to come, especially when you're weak. Especially when you're going through times of suffering. Then lastly, in this story, we see that Jesus dealt with his cup of suffering by being persistent in prayer. Matthew 26:44, so he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Too often when a cup of suffering comes, we pray and then we stop. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into believing a lie that if we pray once and God doesn't seem to answer, that I guess that's the answer. When God's waiting for us to be a little bit more persistent. When God's waiting for us, I want to see how bad they really want it. We've done that as children when we were growing up. If we wanted something, we would pester our parents. And sometimes those parents would yield to the pressure of persistence. And they would allow us to do what we wanted to do. Jesus tells us that in the Bible all the time, that persistence gets the answer. Persistence gets the answer. Don't just go to prayer once when suffering comes. You need to continue to pray and pray and pray and pray. Sometimes people get embarrassed and say, well, I don't want the church to pray for me anymore because they've been praying for me for 10 years and nothing has happened. Maybe it's the 100th time that the answer might come for you. Take it. Take it. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Sometimes one short prayer can work, but persistent prayer is what is really needed when we go through those times of suffering. Get serious with prayer. Do you realize that it's one of the biggest hindrances to the decline of the North American church today? The church in North America stopped praying. You can look at all the other churches around the world where there's great church growth and great things are happening. What's taking place? They're praying. They're seeking the Lord. They really are. We need to get, North America needs to get back to prayer and making prayer a priority in their lives again. If we want to see cups of suffering removed, then we need to get back to the prayer room. We need to get back to persistent prayers. We need to get back to praying with one another. Jesus told us this earlier, Matthew 7:7-8. He said, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. How bad do you want your breakthrough? How bad do you want that suffering to end? I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be shown by how much prayer you put into it. In times of suffering, you need to get serious about prayer, and you got to keep on praying. Don't give up, because it's a persistent prayer that gets the results.